And finally tonight, Plato Benjamin provides a meditation on art and politics in his commentary tonight.
The fact that singer-songwriter Bruce Springsteen has cast his support behind President Obama for the second time is no picayune affair. When the boss sings, "We must care for our own," then stands before a multitude of screaming admirers, looks into the camera, and tells millions of listeners around the country, I believe President Obama feels this in his bones. It matters. It could even sway white workers to vote for the president in Ohio, where the president's commanding lead is shrinking. And Bruce is paired with former President Bill Clinton, the wildly popular elder statesman of Democratic politics, who is a master political strategist and spellbinding orator. But nothing has the power to move people's emotions like music. For centuries, poets and philosophers spouted lines of wisdom and truth over the strumming of lutes. The greatest of these became famous troubadours and traveled from town to town spreading joy and enlightenment. Even in a culturally crass era like today, when our society is moving to the rhythms of a clockwork world and there seems no place for poets to be somebody, Bruce Springsteen, the poet laureate of popular song, is still packing them in everywhere he goes. It is self-evident that he's saying something that touches the souls of the people, because unlike jazz or European classical music, which showcase the art of the virtuoso instrumentalist, popular song is word-driven, especially after the rise of the politically conscious song poets of the 1960s, led by Bob Dylan and Curtis Mayfield. Bruce has paid the cost to be the boss by writing a stream of songs that combine spiritual depth and intellectual gravitas in such a way that even his ideological enemies find them irresistible as campaign fighting songs, songs that could inspire their partisans to action. The Republicans made that mistake with Born in the USA, whose lyrics they misunderstood, and the Clinton camp made a mistake during the last Democratic primary campaign because Bruce endorsed Barack. Chris Christie, the governor of Bruce's home state, has all but prostrated himself before the boss in an effort to get him to perform at some event on his behalf. I can recall no instance, now or in the distant past, when a powerful politician has so shamelessly genuflected before a poet. Not even Sweet Willie Shakespeare was so honored. This is because everybody wants a Bruce Springsteen song as their rallying cry. The power of music to move the masses is well understood by students of transformative movements. Smart politicians, too. That's why every time a reactionary regime with totalitarian tendencies come to power in the world, they either ban music or attempt to control it. This is true whether the regime is guided by religious imperatives such as the Islamic governments of Iran and Afghanistan, which ban music from the airwaves, or the communist regimes of Eastern Europe that ban jazz because of its celebration of democracy and individual freedom. Adolf Hitler employed the bombastic sounds and blatant German nationalism in the works of Richard Wagner to celebrate the Third Reich and motivated people at mass rallies of the Nazi Party. Such is the power of music. Hence, the clever ad men who conjure up campaign propaganda try and snatch sound bites from Springsteen songs, even if their overall themes and basic philosophy are ideologically opposed to their candidate's platform. So rich and powerful is the musical offerings in his oeuvre. That's why it's a very big deal indeed that the boss backs Barack again. From New York City, this is Plato Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.